Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Somebody say, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Somebody say, do. Now, there's that word again, do. Pastor likes to play on that word do because we want to be doers.
Amen.
Right? So do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So those things that we just read about, Paul says, do. Just do them. And I want to talk to you tonight on this thought. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Let's lift our voices to the Lord and let us pray. Would you do that? Would you pray for Pastor this evening? Would you pray that we would be doers of the Word of God? Come on, that's it. Would you lift your voices? Would you pray for me? Help me tonight, oh God, to deliver, God. Strengthen my body, oh God. Help us this evening, God, to be doers of your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You can be seated. I'm still moving a little slow. Went to the chiropractor twice today, and they beat me up pretty good. So part of that is not just pain from my back, but pain from the chiropractor. And so I'm looking forward to getting a good night's sleep. But the Apostle Paul, thank you for those that called and have checked on me. That means a lot. Somebody said, Pastor, you're always calling and checking on us, and I wanted to call and check on you. And that meant a lot to me. I teared up a little bit after I hung up the phone. And so I am a softie every once in a while. But Paul, the Apostle Paul writes this chapter, these four chapters, actually, the book of Philippians is four chapters long. It's very short. In fact, most of you could read it before you go to bed tonight. And there's not a lot of words, but there's a lot of content that is quality there. And the Apostle Paul writes to Philippi, which is a church that he had started. It was a small city in northeastern Greece. It's a province of Macedonia. And Paul started this church, was in a Roman colony. In fact, if you remember in Acts chapter 16, the Apostle Paul, he's there in Philippi, and he started this church. And if you remember specifically, there was a girl that was possessed with the spirit of divination. And Paul looked at her, and rebuked her. And then he and Silas ended up in jail. You remember that? And it was in Revival at Midnight. I preached a message called Revival at Midnight, where they begin to pray and sing praises unto God. And the foundations of the prison shook, and the doors opened, and the chains came off. Well, that was in Philippi. In fact, the Philippian jailer was baptized in Jesus' name. He and his house were saved. And then there was a lady named Lydia in the scripture preceding that. She was a seller of purple, and so she was part of the church there. So Paul goes to Philippi, and he starts this church. And so he's writing to them. He's writing them a letter. In fact, this church had supported Paul financially. You read that in Philippians. They had sent Paul money. They had supported him on his missionary journeys. In fact, the reason Paul was thanking them was because one of their converts in Philippians 4, towards the end of that chapter, had gone and sent some gifts to Paul. And then Paul says, thank you for the gifts. And I know in what state, whatever state I am, to abound. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be full. But God shall supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And so Paul's talking. That's what chapter 4 is about. And so we understand Paul had a deep love for this church. In fact, if you read Philippians, one of the words that sticks out multiple times is the word joy. And Paul is writing to them and reminding them that the joy that we have is not coming from the world, is not coming from things, but the joy that we have comes from our Heavenly Father. And so he's reminding them of that. One thing unique with this book is that the Apostle Paul is writing to a church that he had a deep relationship and love for. But there was no church problems that he was addressing or writing about. Notice in Corinthians and Ephesians, Colossians, he's writing to address some things. But with Philippians, he's writing, thanking them. He says that he prays for them. In Philippians, I want to say it's in chapter 1, he tells them that you're my pride and joy. You're the crown that I look forward to being with you. And so he's writing to them. And he's sharing with them some things about the joy that we have. And then he gets to where we're at and he says, finally, whatsoever things are lovely and pure and just. He names six things. And he says, think on these things. He's telling us to think on these things. Now, I don't know about you if we've ever made this statement to somebody, but or you've heard it, but you said like to them, what are you thinking? Or what were you thinking? Because you obviously weren't thinking when you did what you did. But it's interesting when we read Philippians and understand the writings of Paul and really put into perspective that he suffered much. In fact, when the Apostle Paul is writing Philippians 4, he's incarcerated. He's in prison. He's in jail. And this is interesting that the Apostle Paul used downtime and he used a time when he was incarcerated to bless us. He used this time to write, as we would know as the prison epistles. He would write this and he would send it with a young man. I believe his name was, it starts with an E. It's a long name, but it's there in Philippians 4. He sends it with them to the people in Philippi, but he writes that during downtime when he could have been in the dungeon, in prison, just moping and crying and saying, woe is me. But he used that to be a blessing to us. When you wonder, well, what was he thinking? We obviously know what he was thinking, that the joy that he had was not the joy that the world would say is tangible, but the joy that he had was going to see his Heavenly Father and writing to the church and saying, you know what, I need you to focus on some things, because there's a lot of things that you look at that you could focus on what is wrong.
Right.
And I kind of went down this road a little bit on Sunday morning, and I felt a check in my spirit as I was preparing this week. And, you know, we all have to be careful and mindful of what we allow to penetrate our minds. Because if we allow those things to grow or set root or take up space or allow residency in our mind, before you know it, we'll be thinking on those things, whatever it is.
Right.
Because you are what you do, not what you say.
Right.
You ever make the statement to somebody? Well, prove it to me. Because all I hear is a bunch of talk.
Yep.
Right? Some of you ladies will tell your boyfriend back in the days, right? It's either me or her. Well, prove it. Oh, baby, I love you. Well, prove it. Because the way you're acting, don't show much for it. So the first point I want to make tonight is focus on what's right. Because we're real good at that. Tonight we can make a list of what's wrong with ourselves, with our neighbor, with our home, with our car, with our finances, with our health. But what about what's right? Focus on what's right. Come on, somebody. We can do that. Tonight we could sit around and say, well, just give me one thing that's wrong with your house. Oh, I need to paint it. Give me one thing what's wrong with your finances. Well, I need more money. Or I need to get out of debt. Give me one thing what's wrong with your walk with God. Well, I need to pray more. Well, focus on what's right. Because you got more right than you have wrong.
Right.
You got more going for you that is good than you got that is going for you that is wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
So what are you thinking about? Because the scripture tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So you start thinking about what is wrong all the time. Trust me, I'm getting a whole new revelation of some of you that deal with pain and live with pain and endure pain and still go through life with pain. Hey, I got a whole new revelation and appreciation for you, and I commend you and I congratulate you and I empathize with you. But if we focus about the pain that we have literally or physically in our body, mentally or emotionally, then we begin to minimize the things that God is doing and say, the Apostle Paul says, you know, I prayed and asked for the thorn in the flesh to be gone 3 times, but God didn't take it away. And you know what? Not my will, but thine be done, because I would rather go to heaven with pain in my body and make it to heaven than God heal me and that be the demise of my walk and my relationship with God. Somebody say, what are you thinking? You see, there's a formula. We have a thought, and then we have an action, and that's who we are.
Amen.
That's what we do. That is what we end up being. That's the perception of the reality of who we are. You think about something, and then you act on it, and then that's the result. That's what ends up being the end result, good or bad. So let's focus on what's right in our life. Every single one of us has at least one thing in our life that is not right, or it's embarrassing, or we want to keep to ourselves, or it could keep us up at night and talk and dwell on it, or we would like to do something about. Every single one of us, we spend money and time and energy worrying, stressing out on stuff, getting mad, irritated, getting offended over it.
Yeah.
Why don't we focus on things that are right and think about things that are right in your life?
Yeah.
Listen to Pastor. In the church and out of the church, you will have good days, bad days, trouble, embarrassing times, headaches, good times, lots of money, no money. But Job tells us, man that is born of woman is a few days and has trouble. In fact, he even says is full of trouble.
Amen.
Jesus tells us in Matthew 5:45 that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. When it rains, whenever it rains, not very often, but when it rains, it doesn't just rain on the good people, and then doesn't rain on the bad, or vice versa. Everybody gets the rain, and you gotta endure the rain in order to get the rainbow at the end of the rain.
Yeah.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Notice this. Life can either be something you embrace, or something you hide from. Stop making things more complicated because of your thoughts.
Right.
Well,
exactly.
So what are you thinking about? What kind of thoughts are putting down roots in your mind? What kind of things are our minds focused on? What is it that you are evaluating in your mind that is ungodly and you're contemplating that you're almost going to make a poor decision on or sin because you are allowing that thought to penetrate and to take root in your mind and then in your heart? God doesn't make any junk. God doesn't make any mistakes. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not a throwaway. You're not a reject. So if you think that about yourself, that's stinking thinking. Quit thinking about it. And remember, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. Get those thoughts out of your head, out of your mind.
Amen.
This is not in my notes, but fear is not an emotion. Fear is a spirit. In fact, the scripture says he has not given us the spirit of fear. So let me tell you something. You're trying to control your fear. You think, well, I just got to get my emotions under control. Well, fear is a spiritual thing. You got to get in the spirit to overcome the fear. And that's something some of us will have to deal with over time. But guess what? He also said, but he give you power and love and a sound mind. What are you thinking? You're thinking fearful thoughts? The opposite of fear is what? Faith. So we need to start thinking, you know what? If the devil or life or what I'm seeing is telling me fear, I need to speak the opposite. I shall live and not die. I can be healed. I'm not a throwaway. You said I'm a throwaway. I'm blessed and highly favored. I'm God's child. I'm God's daughter. Galatians 3:26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, Pastor, you don't know how they treat me on the job. You don't know what my husband says about me. Or my entire life, I've always been the odd one. Since I've retired, I feel like I'm not valuable. I've been single so long, I don't think there's any hope. I'm always a day late and a dollar short. Things look impossible. Competition's rolling in. They have deeper pockets. I don't have musical talent. I don't have a college degree. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too handsome. I just got baptized. Hey, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
You're a child of God.
Right.
You're a child of God. William Covey, he writes Seven Habits of Successful People, but he has something that I think is worth sharing tonight. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny.
Yeah.
Even if the negative things are swallowing you up right now, that is only a season or a moment in your life. It is not the end.
Right.
It's not even, it may look fatal, but it's not final.
Right.
It may look demoralizing, but it's not the end. What are you thinking? It says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, thank you, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. That's what the Word of God says, to think on these things. We think about all kinds of stuff. Are we thinking about things that are lovely, pure, holy, just, good report? See, the Bible says in Luke 1:37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. With God, nothing's impossible. With man, there's a lot of limitations. But with God, nothing's impossible. Nothing. Think about this. David was young when he killed Goliath. David was an adulterer. Mary, the mother of Jesus, notice this. She was young, she was pregnant, and she wasn't married.
Right.
The apostle Peter lied, and he cussed, and he denied Jesus all in the same day.
Yep.
No bueno. Yeah. Moses was taken from his family and lived in a sinful environment. Egypt is a type of the world. For 40 years until God, and then he spent another 40 years in training. In the wilderness, 80 years old, before God started to use him. And on top of that, he killed somebody.
Yep.
Noah didn't have a thriving ministry, in my opinion. Some of you have Sunday school classes bigger than Noah did. In Noah's entire church, you have more in your Sunday school class on a bad day than Noah had in a good day. How many people entered in the ark? 8 people. But in my opinion, Noah was successful. Why? He won his entire family. He saved them from destruction. He obeyed God. The scripture said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
Yep.
Joseph was isolated. He was ostracized. Joseph was an immigrant. Can you imagine the emotions that Joseph dealt with in his life? Think about that. You think you have emotional problems? Anxiety? They're real issues. Not, I'm just telling you, think about what this young man did and went through. The highs and lows, from the pit to the palace to prison, all that. Think about that. He could have had a nervous breakdown. Elijah the prophet was fed by ravens and had to drink water from a pond. He even in one scripture in 1 Kings 19:4 said, I want to die, just take me, Lord. So what are we thinking about? And look what happened to them. Let's focus on what's right.
Yeah.
You're forgiven. Are we forgiven?
Yeah.
Are you blessed?
Yeah.
You're still alive?
Amen.
Still can worship the Lord?
Yeah.
You can go to church when you want to go to church. You're not incarcerated. You're not in rehab. You're not in the hospital. You have a Bible, your own Bible. You have running water. You've been saved. You're sometimes it's too hot in here. Sometimes it's too cold. But guess what? There's a lot of places that don't have even chairs to sit on. We're a blessed people. What are we thinking about? When I wake up in the morning till I lay my head down to rest, I'm blessed.
Yeah. Amen.
Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. We can do better.
Yeah.
I can do better. We can ask God for wisdom. In fact, James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When was the last time we prayed for wisdom? Scripture says that he'll give it to all men liberally. We pray for stuff. When have we prayed for wisdom? I remember reading in the scripture about a man that prayed for wisdom. God gave him wisdom and then blessed him beyond measure.
Yeah.
He's still, by all definition, the richest man and the most wisest man it ever was. Because he asked for wisdom. James 3:17 says, but the wisdom that is from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Yeah. That's the kind of wisdom I would want.
Amen.
I can pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. I mentioned it some time back, and just yesterday I mentioned it again. But if you're taking notes, write this down. Don't dig up in doubt what you planted in faith.
Right.
Think about that.
Amen.
Don't go dig something up in doubt or in a bad mood or a bad time. What you planted in faith.
Right.
Remember, when emotions are high, your reason is real low. Time to make decisions is not when you're emotionally messed up.
Right.
Time to make decisions is when you're on the level. Second point tonight I want to make is what you're thinking, saying, or about to do past the Philippians 4:8 criteria? Is what you're thinking, saying, or about to do past the Philippians 4:8 criteria? The Philippians 4:8 criteria is, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. When it says think on these things, esteem them highly, recommend them heartily, and practice them fervently. If there's any praise, if there's any just, if there's any pure on anything, think on it. Think about it. So if what you're thinking, saying, or going to do doesn't pass the Philippians 4:8, then stop. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Philippians 4:8 ought to be the filter for what we do, say, and think.
Right.
Know what a filter does? Doesn't let some stuff in or out. It holds it, right? Some of us need to reevaluate our spiritual filter in our minds.
Right.
Garbage in, garbage out. Sometimes you wonder, why am I thinking that? Well, what is it you were involved, engaged, reading, watching, listening to?
Yep.
Some things you can't erase.
That's right.
Some things are there forever. We all know that.
Yeah.
But what is it? What goes in comes out, right? We know that. So we need a spiritual filter. This is a great spiritual filter. If what I'm watching, what I'm listening, who I'm hanging out with, what I'm about to do, what I'm thinking, no matter where it's at, your privacy of your own home, sitting in your truck, out on vacation, doesn't matter. Radio, magazine, doesn't name something. That, what's the filter? Is Philippians 4:8, is that your filter? It sure is a good thing to be your filter. Then flush it out. Good rule of thumb. If you have to justify doing something or saying something, you might want to check yourself. You might want to go back to Philippians 4:8. We do more harm by what we simply say because we spoke what we thought.
Right.
You don't need to say everything that comes into your mind, whether it's true or not. Proverbs 13:3 says, he that keepeth his mouth, doesn't say wife, keepeth his life.
Yeah.
But he that open wide his lips shall have destruction. Don't let wickedness, evil, immoral, lustful, vile, unrighteousness, thoughts dwell or take up residence in your mind. What are you thinking? Cast it down in Jesus' name. I got a scripture for you. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down imaginations.
Yeah.
Mm. See, some of you are not creative, but you got some creative thoughts.
Yeah.
Man, you can think of some great things. Woo! Where'd you come up with that? What are you thinking? I don't know. It just came into my head. Yeah, it came in your head, all right. You've been listening, watching, reading, hanging out with some people, putting some garbage in your head. Too much YouTube. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bring it into captivity and every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Amen.
What we put in our minds determine what comes out in our words and actions. I'll give you a scripture. Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure, or when you break that word treasure, means deposit. A good man out of the deposit of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure deposit out of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh. So what are you speaking? Is what you're speaking true? Is it genuine? Is it authentic? Is it firm? Is it concordant with facts? Is it valid? Is it agreeable to unchangeable and eternal truth? John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is true. So what are you thinking? Are you thinking about the word of God? Are you reading the word of God? We get notifications on our phones for all kinds of things. I sure hope, as much as I talk about reading your Bible, you got a Bible app on your phone and you're getting notifications every day. I sure hope so. Get the mind, your thought, and heart equals an action. Notice this. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. I spent a lot of time on honesty a couple weeks back, or maybe it was last week, in the last sermon series. But honest, is it honorable in principles, intentions, actions, genuine, unadulterated? Is it honest? Is it respectful? Having a good reputation? Is it honest? Is it truthful or credible? Don't be that person with a bad reputation for honesty.
Right.
And say you're a Christian. And please don't tell them you come to Revival Tabernacle if you're going to be that way. Matthew 5:37 says, but let your communication be yea or yea, nay and nay. For whosoever is more than these cometh of evil. I'll leave you with this. If you're going to say you're going to do something, then do it.
Yeah.
Do everything within your power to do it.
Yeah.
If you can't be there, don't say maybe and lead people on. Just say, I don't want to go. I don't feel like it. I know I'm going to be the odd man out, but I'm not going.
Yeah.
People can live with that.
Yeah.
Well, if you borrow something from somebody on Friday and you tell them you're going to pay them back next Friday and the other Friday comes along, don't wait for them to call you. Be honest and say, hey, I got what I borrowed. I'm bringing it right on over in better condition than the way I got it from you, by the way.
Yeah.
Romans 12:17 says, provide things honest in the sight of all men. Remember, we represent the Lord. Amen. What are you thinking? Titus 2:7 says, in all things, show in thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound, which means truthful speech. That cannot be condemned. Do we twist the truth? That's lying. Do we exaggerate? Do we make stuff up? What are you thinking? Paul says, think on these things. Esteem them highly. Recommend them. Practice them. Is it just? Is what we're saying, thinking, or about to do, is it just? Is it guided by truth? Reason, justice, and fairness, done and made according to principle. Is it impartial? Let me ask you something. What is your reputation like since you've been in the church? Because the scripture says, things in the world, they're in the world. New creation, right? So I'll give you what was in, before you got in church, before you got baptized, before you were filled with the Holy Ghost. All right. Judgment begins in the house of God. Right? Well, so what's your reputation like at school, neighborhood, and the job? Would people be surprised that you told them you were a Christian? Would they fall over in their chair if they told them you were a Pentecostal? Are you surprised when certain people tell you that they're a Christian? You're like, wow. Are you surprised when people tell you that they're married? Like, ooh, really? Don't be that person. Are you just? Or do you only want it for when you need it, but can care less about others? We only want justice for you when you want it and need it. Are you a person of godly principles? Are you a person of integrity? See, you can't buy integrity. You either have integrity or you don't. How's your integrity? What are you thinking? Well, Pastor, I don't see how integrity has anything to do with me being a Christian or what Paul's writing about. Absolutely it does. Because it's a thought. You start acting in ways that don't with no integrity, it's because there was a thought that grew and you begin to act on it. Thoughts that have no integrity can lead to actions with no integrity if it's not dealt with. Notice this. Proverbs 20:7. The just man walketh in his integrity. I like this part. His children are blessed after him. You know, there's several here tonight. I look across the congregation. Several. Sister Rivas, Brother Robert, Sister Megan. Several of you here. You have generations of Pentecost in your family. I can tell you what. You're blessed because of decisions that your family members made, grandparents, great-grandparents, etc., that you have no idea the prayers and the sacrifices they made, but you're blessed because of it. And we're a great example of this. There's a lot of elders that have come and gone from Revival Tabernacle through the 60-plus years that we've been a church in this city that we're blessed. You know what? Our integrity. They may never meet me, but they may meet my daughter someday or my grandchild someday and say, you know what? That was a person of integrity. Your parents taught you well. Your grandparents instilled some things well in you. Notice this. Integrity has to do with a sense of consistency between a person's inner values and attitude and his outward words and actions. Your integrity may be in question if it's all about you. If you compromise. Your integrity may be in question if you're corrupt, if you can be bribed, if you cheat. You musicians would come. I ask you a question. Who are you when nobody else is watching? That's integrity. What are you willing to do if nobody finds out?
Nobody's going to know.
Remember as kids? I know nobody did that, but the town I came from? Oh, yeah. All the time.
Oh, nobody's going to find out.
Small town. My dad's a pastor. Nobody's going to find out. Really? One high school, one junior high. Nobody's going to find out. Job was a man of integrity. And all that he went through, he didn't curse God, blame God. In fact, his wife said, you're going to sit there and maintain your integrity? Why don't you curse God and die? He looked at her and said, woman, you talk like a fool.
Yeah.
He had integrity. Do you know who else had integrity? Joseph. Joseph had integrity. We don't read anywhere in the scripture where Joseph complained, whined, got depressed. Nowhere. Read it. Genesis, right around Genesis 38. You don't read anything. Dream to dream. Brothers throw him in a pit. His integrity was challenged with Potiphar's wife. And he runs. He leaves. That's a man of integrity. And then notice what he says in Genesis 50 and right around verse 20. He says, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. What was he thinking all along? Yeah. I could tell you what he was thinking. He tested his brothers, but he didn't kill them. He didn't crucify them. Joseph had all the power to do whatever he wanted to do to his family. And what did he say? Hey, don't worry about it. Bring everybody here. Live here with me. Father died. And he says, hey, it's okay. God had a purpose. God had a plan. And he meant it unfor good. That's what Joseph was thinking. Some of us tonight got to remember some of the things that we're going through. Some of the things that you're dealing with. Some of the things that you're going to deal with. There's a purpose. You got to remember in your mind. I got to use a filter of Philippians 4. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue. I'm going to think about all these things. That's what I'm going to do. We stand tonight. Notice this. If what you're saying and doing or thinking is not meeting the criteria for Philippians 4 and 8, we got to stop. We got to take a time out. You got to disconnect and say, why am I thinking what I'm thinking? Why am I saying what I'm saying? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. You cannot maintain a healthy walk with God living and thinking ungodly thoughts, because that will result in ungodly actions. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth, or when it's done, bringeth forth. Lust, when it's conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is done, bringeth forth death. Colossians 3 and 2. Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. So I like to testify and say, you know what? When I find it difficult at times to focus on what's right, I need to start thinking about the goodness of the Lord.
Yeah.
And everything He's done for me.
Amen.
He's done so much for all of us, each of us. We can't even begin to tell all that He's done.
Amen.
So what are we thinking about on a Wednesday night, on a Thursday, on a Monday morning? You got problems, you look at your bank, you just got paid. And on Friday, Saturday, it's all gone. You're saying, Lord, you know what? He's able to meet all my needs. He's Jehovah Jireh. When you're sick, when you're lonely, you're depressed, you got the urge to go back to your old ways, Lord, you said you would never leave me nor forsake me. What are we thinking about? What are we doing? What are we going to do with what God has entrusted with us tonight? The song says, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that He's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Praise God for saving us. I want Sister Ellen to sing it. I want us to find a place to pray, to rejoice, and testify to ourselves. Say, you know what? When I begin to think about what He's done for me, I get excited. When I begin to think about what He's doing for you, I get excited. There's no greater joy than the joy of the Holy Ghost. Would you worship this evening with her? When I think of the goodness of Jesus,
all He has done
for me,
my soul cries out,
hallelujah.
Praise God for saving me.
When I think of the goodness of Jesus
and all He has done for me,
hallelujah, my soul
cries out,
hallelujah. What are you thinking about tonight? Are you thinking about your problems, your troubles? Hallelujah! Praise
God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all